Welcome to RHRealityCheck.org's RealityCast, where we inject truth into the sex and reproductive health debate. Each week, we'll be bringing you news, opinion, and advice on sexual health issues, as well as interviews with some of the most prominent names in sexual health advocacy. Here's your host, Amanda Marcotte.
This week's episode of the podcast will have a slightly different format. I usually do a segment, then an interview, and then a segment, but this week, I went to the extra effort to do three segments and no interviews. The Republican primary is heating up, and I want to thoroughly cover the various issues at hand. But first, from the blog Bitchflix, I found a trailer for a documentary that sounds interesting called The Bro Code, How Contemporary Culture Creates Sexist Men. Here's a bit of the trailer.
I grew up in bro culture. Sports and music, both having one thing in common, treating women like sexual objects. When I was young, I never thought about it as being anything other than normal. You know, women were here for our sexual enjoyment. Almost every guy I knew thought like that. And really, has anything changed today? So where do guys get the idea that women are playthings, eye candy, and sexual objects for our enjoyment?
The trailer addresses rape jokes, the way that pop culture objectifies women, and the pressure to be a bro. The one thing I wish is that documentaries like this would address the role the religious right plays in all this. It may not seem immediately obvious, but anti-choice nuts are part of this same culture. Just as bro culture says that because women are capable of sexual intercourse, they should take all comers, anti-choicers say because women are capable of giving birth at all, they should not have the right to say no to it. Both are forms of objectification. Last week, I reported on how Mitt Romney supported a personhood amendment while on Mike Huckabee's show. The choice to do so raised a number of questions, the most important being whether or not Romney agrees with the personhood people that the birth control pill should be banned. The whole thing is ridiculously complicated because personhood supporters falsely claim the pill works by killing fertilized eggs, when in fact it works by preventing ovulation. And it's an objective fact that using it means losing fewer fertilized eggs than using no contraception at all. Which of course means it's entirely possible for someone who understands the science but not the politics of the personhood amendment to support it without realizing it's intended to ban the birth control pill. It appears that Romney stepped into that trap, and he was confronted with it at a public event by a woman who unfortunately had bad scientific information.
You were on Governor Huckabee's show a few weeks ago, and one of the things that you folks talked about was that you would support a Life Begins at Conception amendment. Now, that would essentially mean banning most forms of birth control. 98% of American women, including me, use birth control. So could you help me understand why you oppose the use of birth control?
I don't.
Okay, well...
I'm sorry, life begins at conception. Birth control prevents conception.
What's frustrating about this is that Romney is right on the science. Contraception, including the pill, prevents an egg from fertilizing. If you really do believe life begins at conception, which I think is a Trojan horse story, but for the sake of argument, let's assume people do. If you assume this, then the pill shouldn't be a matter of concern because it prevents conception. Of course, what Romney is pretending not to understand here is that anti-choicers are falsely claiming that the pill works by killing fertilized eggs, which again, is not true, and that they hope they can enshrine that lie into the public imagination and into law, which would make the pill abortion in their minds and would therefore make it eligible for abortion restrictions. All they need, and I'm sure Romney gets this, is a judge who is willing to let quacks guide the decision. Bad science gets written into law all the time with a judge's approval. Unfortunately, I'm seeing a lot of feminists play right into anti-choice hands by repeating the misinformation about how the pill works. For instance, this woman asking the question.
Hormonal forms of birth control work a little differently, and so they actually prevent implantation, not conception. So it would ban hormonal forms of birth control, which is what most women use. So I don't know if you want to look into that, but as someone that uses birth control, this is a very terrifying prospect to me. So I hope that you can, you know, look into that, I guess.
He stares at her with condescending indulgence, which is irritating. But the fact of the matter is she's simply wrong. That is not how the birth control pill works. Some doctors have theorized that it might make the uterine lining more hostile to an egg that might be fertilized, but what scientific research there is on this provides no evidence for that theory, and in fact suggests it's probably false. But I don't blame this woman for being confused. Many, many liberal sources are repeating this non-evidence speculation about how the pill works, including Rachel Maddow.
Okay, hormonal birth control. The way most hormonal birth control works is that it causes changes in a woman's body so that even if there is sperm in the right neighborhood, a pregnancy does not result. This kind of birth control works in a few different ways, actually. Up in this part, up here up north, it works to stop ovulation, to stop the production of eggs. But that is not the only thing that it does. It also changes this other part here to stop sperm from getting to the very important part of the lady parts where that egg just might be. It also changes this part. So if somehow an egg is produced and if somehow a sperm still does get to that egg, that fertilized egg will not implant in this part of the body and start to grow into an embryo. This is how the birth control pill works.
Problem is that the only confirmed method that the pill works by is preventing ovulation. There's some evidence for the cervical mucus theory, but I could find no evidence for the uterine lining theory. It's speculation. Look, I get why pro-choicers are repeating this speculative theory about a theoretical but unlikely way the pill might work on the rare occasion an egg fertilizes for a woman on the pill. It's the simplest way to get the message across that personhood amendments are intended to ban the pill. It's much harder to say, well, anti-choicers spread misinformation about how the pill works and hope that by doing so, they can get it banned, because complex concepts are really hard to sell in politics. But we need to make the effort. The reason is that if we continue to claim, falsely, that the pill kills fertilized eggs, that will be reason enough to get it reclassified legally, if not medically, as abortion, which means no more public funding to the pill, and a likely ban on insurance funding of it, as well as putting women through the usual abortion restrictions. I can easily see a day, if we continue down this path, where women have to endure ultrasounds and 24-hour waiting periods to get birth control pills. That's why it's so critical not to play footsie with anti-choice misinformation, even if it seems like it will be useful in the short term, politically speaking. Mitt Romney may be unwilling to go on the record opposing the use of contraception, but Rick Santorum, who continues to claim to be running for president, has no such qualms. While sitting down for a 45-minute interview with CaffeinatedThoughts.com, Santorum pledged not only to cut off the already non-existent tax-funded abortions, but also to ban any other stream of abortion funding. I'm surprised they haven't come up with a plan to prevent women from paying for it out of pocket, honestly. But then he added that he was not only going to cut off tax and insurance funding of abortion, but also of contraception.
I always say these children have so much to teach us of what's really important. And so, you know, can we pass bills? Yeah, I'll work on trying to pass bills. I'll work on trying to make the laws of this country more friendly. Like, I'll repeal all funding of abortion. We'll repeal Obamacare and get rid of any kind of idea that you have to have abortion coverage or contraceptive coverage.
In one sense, this view he expresses is mainstream in the Republican Party now. After all, House Republicans did try to shut down the entire federal government in order to defund contraception subsidies at Planned Parenthood, and state Republicans are attacking contraception funding from all sorts of angles. But there's often an abortion excuse, no matter how thin. If you'll recall, there was some strained claim that subsidizing contraception at Planned Parenthood somehow subsidized abortion, even though all available evidence shows that contraception use actually reduces the abortion rate. But if you break apart the defunding on the state level, it becomes clear that it was never about abortion at all, but about sex and contraception. For instance, in Tennessee, they're just straight taking contraception funding and giving it to anti-contraception propaganda centers called crisis pregnancy centers. Despite all this, there's a tendency amongst anti-choice politicians to talk around the issue, never admitting outright that they think contraception is wrong and that women shouldn't be allowed to have it. except Rick Santorum, who has a refreshingly blunt, hateful attitude about people who have sex for pleasure.
I think the dangers of contraception in this country, the whole sexual libertine idea, many in the Christian faith have said, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, contraception's okay. It's not okay, because it's a license to do things in the sexual realm that is counter to how things are supposed to be. They're supposed to be within marriage. They're supposed to be for purposes that are, yes, conjugal, but also immunitive, but also procreative. And that's the perfect way that a sexual union should happen. And when we take any part of that out, we diminish the end. If you can take one part out, it's not for the purposes of procreation, that's not one of the reasons, then you diminish this very special bond between men and women.
I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking it too. Whenever you hear someone say that sex should literally only happen for procreation, and that men and women literally cannot bond unless they're making a baby, your mind goes to that evil place. The place where you wonder if Santorum is really living up to the standards he's holding everyone else up to, where about 99.9% of sexual activity, even 99% of heterosexual activity, even 99% of married sexual activity should be disallowed. Only Santorum and his wife know for sure. But I do know this. Even if Santorum and his wife got separate and godly bedrooms after their last child was born in 2008, and even if they took a long break from sex in the years 2001 to 2008, where they weren't having any children, the irony here is that a lot of these anti-contraception guys want big families to show off their supposed virility. But these big gaps between pregnancies have the opposite of the intended effect. Of course, what Santorum is churning out is pure religious dogma, and certainly has no relationship to reason-based decision-making, which he appears not to grasp.
But there's a lot of things we do for the pleasure, and this is special, and it needs to be seen as special. And again, I know most presidents don't talk about those things, and maybe people don't want us to talk about those things, but I think it's important that you are who you are. Mm-hmm. I'm not running for preacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not running for pastor. But these are important public policy issues. These have profound impact on the health of our society.
Actually, you might as well be running for pastor, because you think the position of president is about using the force of law to put your religious dogma on those who don't share your faith. Which, may I remind you, is forbidden by the Constitution. Of course, later he tries to walk back from that a little by claiming that a ban on abortion and contraception would lower the STD and unplanned pregnancy rate, which is similar to saying that a ban on seatbelts would lower the traffic fatality rate, which is to say, it's the opposite of true. To be fair, however, I think Santorum is also implying that a president has the power to ban sex for pleasure. After all, he refers to himself as merely one of many presidents, even though he's never been president. So it's clear he gets confused pretty easily. Now that Herman Cain is having what I suspect will be a temporary surge in the Republican primary polling, that means that journalists are starting to ask him questions about stuff that isn't pizza. And that means questions about, dum-dum-dum, abortion. And Cain doesn't sound like a politician when it comes to abortion rights. Most politicians know that when it comes to abortion rights, you have to pick a side. You have to be pro-choice or anti-choice, at least in that moment. You can, like Mitt Romney, switch sides routinely for political advantage, but when asked directly, you have to say whether or not you'd force unwilling women to give birth or not. Cain, however, doesn't seem ready to give an answer for this, the most straightforward of political questions. While being interviewed on Fox News in front of a live audience, Cain straight up tried to have it both ways.
I'm pro-life from conception, yes.
Any cases where it should be legal?
I don't think government should make that decision. I don't believe that government should make that decision.
People should be free to abort a baby.
I support life from conception. No, people shouldn't be just free to abort, because if we don't protect the sanctity of life from conception, we will also start to play God relative to life at the end of life.
So I'm confused on what your position is.
My position is I'm pro-life, period.
If a woman is raped, she should not be allowed to end the pregnancy?
That's her choice. That is not government's choice.
Good.
And he kept going back and forth on this. No, he doesn't think abortion should be legal, but he also doesn't think government should ban it. That these things are directly contradicting each other doesn't seem to bother him. In the same breath and with equal conviction, Herman Cain is both for and against banning abortion. I spent enough time talking to conservatives that I can actually see how this line of thinking works, though, which is to say it's not thinking. It's just pressing wingnut buttons. Abortion is bad. Government is bad. Anti-choicers are really a bundle of confusion on this point. Those who actually want the government to ban abortion often don't think of it as a government ban, because that would run in the face of their claims that liberty is about being anti-government. Then there are those that really don't want the government to ban abortion, but they don't want to say that they're pro-choice, because doing so would mark them as an orgy-loving, butt-rogering pervert in their social circles. So they say they're pro-life while pretending that it has no relationship to forced birth. Gallup polling reflects this. More than 3/4 of Americans believe abortion should be legal in some or all circumstances, but half of Americans call themselves pro-life. That means roughly half of so-called pro-life people are actually pro-choice, at least to some extent. Even the ones who support stringent restrictions tend to imagine if they or their loved ones wanted an abortion, they would be able to get one. So Cain's incoherent views actually have a wide audience. But the mainstream media really thinks this is black and white, because logically, it is. So they kept pressing Cain about this, and he kept refusing to be logical. Piers Morgan interviewed him, and this is how it went.
Abortion. What's your view of abortion?
I believe that life begins at conception, and abortion under no circumstances, and here's why.
No circumstances?
No circumstances.
Because many of your fellow candidates, or certainly some of them, qualify that.
They qualify, but...
Rape and incest.
Rape
and
incest, but...
Are you honestly saying again, tricky question, I know.
That's a tricky question.
But you've had children, grandchildren.
Yes.
If one of your female children, grandchildren, was raped, you would honestly want her to bring up that baby as her own?
You're mixing two things here, Pierce.
Why?
Okay. You're mixing two things.
But that's what it comes down to.
No, it comes down to it's not the government's role or anybody else's role to make that decision.
In a sense, this wasn't that big a contradiction. It could be that Cain is saying he is personally against abortion, but that it should be left up to a woman's choice. That's a common pro-choice stance, though it's admittedly easier to hold that opinion if you're without a uterus and you'll never be faced with that choice. But it gets weird.
So what I'm saying is it ultimately gets down to a choice that that family or that mother has to make. Not me as president, not some politician, not a bureaucrat. It gets down to that family. And whatever they decide, they decide. I shouldn't try to tell them what decision to make.
Straight pro-choice talk, right? In fact, he really gets into it.
I can have an opinion on an issue without it being a directive on the nation. The government shouldn't be trying to tell people everything to do, especially when it comes to social decision that they need to make.
That's really interesting, though. That's a very interesting departure from the normal politics.
Exactly.
Cain didn't get the memo that the limited government thing is just a fig leaf to make right-wing nuttery more palatable, and that this was certainly not meant to apply to women's reproductive choices. But seriously, he says stuff like this and then continues to hammer at the I'm pro-life nonsense. Yes, he's trying to have it both ways. But I also think he, like a lot of anti-choicers, hasn't really thought the issue through, and realize that if you want it to be a private choice for women and their families, It has to be legal and accessible. Abortions don't just materialize out of thin air when you need them, as if you're Peter Pan and abortions are Tinkerbell. And now for the Wisdom of Wingnuts, the Occupy Wall Street edition. I'm sure it comes as no surprise to discover that Occupy Wall Street is upsetting the right. And considering the right-wing obsession with sex, it probably comes as no surprise that calling the protesters perverts is a favorite line of attack. Eric Bolling on Fox News went there.
Communist, Nazi,
I haven't called the Tea Party people fascists.
Smoking, sex-addicted morons, and you compare them to the Tea Party?
See, that's what I mean. You're sitting here and you...
I suspect if you've ever had sex, even once, that puts you in the sex-addicted category for Bolling. After all, you probably liked it, you filthy Nazi communist slut.
That's it for this week's edition of Reality Cast. Please tune in next week for another dose of reality in the sexual health debate. Visit www.rhrealitycheck.org and sign up for a weekly e-newsletter, various news feeds, and daily emails. Thanks for listening and see you next week.